This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. At the time that we are recording this, it is Sunday afternoon, January 22nd. And Damon, today we're going to be talking a little Fantastica Mania 2017. How about it?
Hey. You with the Latin flair there.
Hey, I do what I can.
And I don't mean woo. I mean in the pronunciation.
The Latin flair. That's like a chop that you give in Mexico.
Sounds delicious. I could go for some Latin chops. I'm starving. Fantastica Mania, right?
That's right.
It's our favorite time of the year, right? We look forward to this every single year.
Oh, of course. You know that we're big Lucha guys.
We're the Lucha authorities here on the internet world.
That's right.
We're your one stop shop for all things Lucha. Now, seriously, folks, we sit here and we talk about how, you know, sometimes these things are a struggle and it's not our favorite time of the year, but overall, good old CM. I thought these shows were pretty decent. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, you know, as
Uh-oh,
much as
that,
we
that's that was a that 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 high pitched the high pitched yeah it was good yeah you didn't like it, did you?
No, I had fun with it. It's just like I've said before, these shows, the main problem that I have with them is that they really don't mean going. They don't mean much going forward in 2017 for New Japan. However, my big takeaway from all of these shows is that it increased my enthusiasm for this upcoming Takahashi Dragon Lee match that's going to take place at the New Beginning.
Well, okay. At least you got that out of it. Good. And I know, like, this is where I think we're different. We're different in many ways, Colin.
You have no idea.
But that's okay. That's what makes us special. Is the fact that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is, I think, somebody could say, hey, there's this, Evolve match you got to check out. And I'll check it out and be like, okay, cool, awesome, great match, right? And just take it for what it is. Or somebody could be like, hey, you know, a Ring of Honor match, or hey, a Big Japan match, or a Stardom match, or whatever.
An NXT match.
An NXT match, right? Colin, I'll go so far as to say even a WWE match. If somebody said it's really great, you got to check it out, I'll check it out.
Well, if it's good wrestling, it's good wrestling, right?
That's my motto. That and I need another beer. Whereas I think for you, I think you need to be, I don't want to say emotionally involved. I think it's maybe a stretch. Like, I just think you need to have a backstory. Like, you need to care, I think. I think.
Damon, you.
A match just in a bubble doesn't do anything for you.
Damon, you hit the nail right on the head. And I'll just give you an example. A lot of these classic All Japan Pro Wrestling matches that people love and are great, I'll watch them, and when I compare it to, let's say, modern day New Japan, boy, it's just, I'm not, you're right, I have to have some sort of a backstory. I have to be I have to care about both performers that are in the ring in some way. I have to be emotionally connected to the match. And a match,
so you couldn't just take a Misawa Kobashi, just sit down, watch a match, and be like, whoa, that was a fucking amazing match, and blah, 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 blah. You can't, you need to watch the whole, you know,
I could do that. I can appreciate a match on its own, but I will tell you this, I'll have a different feeling after I get done watching a Tanahashi Okada match, for example.
Right, because again, you're into the characters. I'm going to be truthful. We talked about this before you hit the record button. Dude, I'm telling you, if there is one U.S. promotion that I am shocked that you haven't sunk your teeth into, and like I said, I have every show. I could copy the drive and send them to you in their original format, is UWF. Like Bill Watts' UWF. Like that is storied, like story progression. You got to watch week to week and you're hooked. Pro wrestling. American pro wrestling with guys that were at the top of their game. Gordy. I mean, this is in the middle of Gordy's, like, you know, when Gordy was incredible in All Japan, and Steve Williams, when he was incredible in All Japan, and Ted DiBiase and One Man Gang. And, you know, I told you before, like Missy Hyatt and Eddie Gilbert were fucking great. Yeah, I mean, that's one promotion that I really feel like you would really love. And if that's you, and you're not the only one, like, and I think that's a big reason why it's I wouldn't say it's difficult for you, but it's, you know, it's not something that's going to be on your top 10 list of things to do, is sit down and watch a, you know, Ricky Choshu Tenryu match.
Right.
Right. Because you have no context, like you have no. Like, you're not going to sit there and watch the entire 1982 through 89, you know, history of Ricky Choshu. It's just not going to happen.
After I get done watching the matches, I'll be like, okay, technically, I can see how that was a good match. But again, it meant nothing to me.
Right. Can you, but does that help you, like, for these Fantasticomania shows? Like, when you watch these matches, and again, some of them were pretty good, right?
Absolutely.
Some of them were pretty good. Does that make you curious as to what else they can do? Like, are you going to go out and see if you can find some Teton matches?
Well, here's the thing. No. Right. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you know what I start thinking? I start thinking to myself, you know, as I'm watching some of these guys like Teton and Euphoria and Mystico, I'm thinking to myself, boy, wouldn't it be cool if New Japan could secure some of these guys for Best of the Super Juniors later this year? That's what I start thinking. Like, I would love to see CMLL give Volador Jr. a little run in New Japan, similar to what Mascara Dorada had. Like, that's what I start thinking when I watch these shows and how talented some of these luchadors are.
Right. Different strokes for different folks. You know, I think that's where we're cut from a different cloth, in the sense that when I see stuff like that, like, now I get uber obsessed with it. Like, I could become like, oh my God, now I want to see how it got to this point. Like how, what led to this match. And let me see more of these great matches. And then I'm like, okay, recommend me this. Like, I'm kind of doing that with Stampede. Like, so I'm kind of in the middle of this nice little run. I'm trying to find more shows. By the way, if anybody has Stampede, like 87 through like maybe 90, I'm all in. You can get a hold of us. I really want that stuff. Because again, that's, you know, you're looking at Liger, you know, Kishi Yamada, Hiroshi Hase's there, Owen Hart, of course, Brian Pillman, Benoit.
The cream of the crop.
Yeah, Dynamite Kid, you know, both the British Bulldogs. I mean, there's some really fucking talented pro wrestlers on that roster and during that time frame, really good shows. I get obsessed with it. So I'm all in on Stampede. I'm like, I gotta see more. I'm digging, trying to find shit. And then, you know, you kind of get into like Muck and Sing, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of like who else was there that I maybe not have had a super appreciation for, but you kind of get more. I'm kind of that guy. So, yeah, I would hope that the Fantasticomania shows, at the very least for some people, helps spawn an interest. Hey, if you find something that you liked, or you find someone that you kind of connected with, maybe you go out and you go watch some CML and, you know, become a bigger fan. But if you're like Colin and, you know, you kind of fantasy book in your head of, okay, maybe they bring these guys in. That's good. Whatever. It floats your boat. Whatever floats your boat.
Well, Damon, in any case, today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be reviewing the most recent Fantasticomania show from earlier this morning, Sunday the 22nd. We're going to go through that card match by match, and we're going to fill in the gaps a little bit with some of our favorite matches from the prior two nights on Saturday and Friday. So, Damon, what do you say we get going here?
You want to go there first, or do you want to share with the crew some new feelings that you shared with me earlier? You want to start there, and then we'll get into the Fantasticomania?
Honestly, I would like to save that for the end of the podcast. Because teaser! It's a little radio gimmick there, Dave. You gotta build suspense, you know? Suspense, keep the listeners hooked. So I think since Fantasticomania is on both of our minds right now, why don't we kick it off with that? We're going to work backwards here and review this latest show, shall we?
Let's do it, Colin Miller. I found the show very, shockingly enough, enjoyable.
This was the best of the three nights, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes. I would say hands down, it was the best of the three. Now, there's another show that's on Samurai that I did not watch.
And that was the first show, right?
Yeah. I have not watched that. I have not found the time in my busy schedule to watch that. And truth be told, I probably won't. But it's there for the taking. If those people need to see more Fantasticomania, it'll be out there. I think Real Hero guys have it up, if I'm not mistaken. Third night was better than any of the other nights that I saw. It had elements of pro wrestling that usually could barely stomach, but I was laughing. I was enjoying myself, and there were plenty of moments of that where, you know, goofiness and comedy and a style that maybe I don't appreciate as the next guy, I was appreciating. I thought it was good. What was your take? You're the guy that hates this.
Well, hate is a very strong word. I wouldn't say I hate it. It's just not my cup of tea. And my favorite stuff out of all three of these nights were the high-flying luchadors, the Volador Juniors, the Titans, the Mysticos, guys like that. Guys like Maximo Sexy, not exactly up my alley. You know, with that being said, this is... These Fantasticomania shows are really a time for the NJPW stars to kind of let their hair down a little bit, let their goofy side show through. Even guys like Okada, you know, the top guy in the company, you know, coming out in the mask.
Yep. Tanahashi with the, you know, he wears the makeup, right?
Yeah, he always does that.
Yeah, I'm the same camp as you, dude. I'm not a big fan of the barrel chested. I don't want to say older, but that you know who I'm talking about. Those type of I do like the later weight high flyer. To me, I don't want to say more athletic, but the more I guess I like a little flash with my lucha.
You like a little flippy shit.
I like the flippy do. I like a flippy do. But listen, I'm getting lucha. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm about to watch it, give me the flippy do. I'm not a big fan of the barrel-chested.
The Ultimo Guerreros.
Yeah, it's not my thing. It's not. I can't stomach too much of that. I couldn't watch it every day. But this show, by and large, I would give a thumbs up. Right? Would you give it a thumbs up?
Yeah, sure. Out of these three shows, if you're like me and you're not exactly into these Fantastica Mania shows and into the lucha style, definitely still check out night number three, because that by itself, let's forget that it's Fantastica Mania. Let's forget that it's a CMLL dual branded show. This show by itself is quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it's easy. But it wasn't long, was it?
No, it wasn't. God, I want to say that the longest this show was 2.5 hours.
Right. And usually you look at that timestamp and you might put a bullet in your mouth.
Oh, when I look at those timestamps and sometimes I see like 5 hours and it's a Sunday morning, I am not a happy camper.
Yeah, you're not going into it with a smile on your face.
No.
See, that's why I'm kind of surprised that you don't look forward to these more often. Because everything that we talk about and everything that you like in pro wrestling, these things kind of deliver, except the fact that, you know, you don't have that connection and you're not, you know, emotionally attached to a lot of this. But even with that, and again, these are shows that are in a bubble and they don't really impact what happens later on in the year. I understand that. I get it. But I just as a like a little, I don't know, like a little side dish, a little.
It's a nice breather. I will say that.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Are you a fan of like, and this might be the shittiest analogy ever on this show, but we're the kings of the shitty analogies.
We are.
Are you a fan of the Star Wars?
Damn it. Are you kidding me? I love Star Wars. Grew up with Star Wars.
All right. So let me ask you about this Rogue One thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're a fan, right? But isn't this a bit of an odd? Would you consider Rogue One a bit of a Fantastic-a-mania?
Well, Rogue One
is that a bad analogy?
I think it kind of is because Rogue One is actually like a prequel to Episode 4, the original Star Wars
prequel. Jesus Christ, a prequel to a prequel?
That's more of a it's something from the Star Wars universe that did impact events from the very first movie. And actually, I'll go on record. I'll say I enjoyed Rogue One a hell of a lot more than I did Episode 7.
Which one was Episode 7?
Episode 7 was the latest J.J. Abrams one.
The one that just came out?
Yeah, the one from last year.
I did like that. I thought it was good. All right, so that's a shitty analogy. All right, but
I know I know where you were going though. It's a nice pit stop. You know, we just got off of what is probably going to be the show of the year, Wrestle Kingdom 11. We just got off of a 6-star match, so this is kind of a nice pit stop, a nice breather before we kick things back into high gear with New Beginning.
There you go. That's the way I like to think of this. Think of this as like a little gelato, a little cleansing of the palate, right?
a little sherbet.
Well, that's what I want. Sherbet.
All right.
Sherbet. All right. Let's get into it. People are waiting. They're dying to hear
our hot takes.
The New Japan Reddit subreddit is just dying to hear some more pessimistic Damon. And,
they are salivating at the thought.
They're clamoring for me to just go berserko on CMLL and lay the boots to them as I did to New York. That won't happen here today, kids. I'm in a good mood. I'm not pessimistic. I'm a happy camper today. So maybe it was the jet lag last week I read. All right, let's get into it, Colin. First match.
All right, here we go. First match. 6-man tag, Blue Panther Jr., Sabanero Jr. and Henare taking on Barbaro, Cavanario, Jado, and Ghetto. Fuck you.
Yeah. I saw a sticker online. I was going to buy it for you.
Really?
It was that. Yeah, I saw it online. $3. Man. $3.
I would have put that on my bulletin board at work.
Yeah, I'll put that right in your car. That's a bumper sticker right there. Well, look, I thought this match was okay.
I thought it was a good opener.
Yeah, I mean,
fun, you know?
Yeah, there was a lot of silliness between Cabanario, the caveman, and our favorite tag team of Ghetto and Jado. Like it's hard for me to review these type of matches just because some of it is silly. A lot of it is, you know, the old head scissor. The head scissor is almost like an arm drag. And even the arm drags are, you know, lucha arm drags are the most deadly arm drags. They toss you from the ring, Colin.
Yeah, did you see that one that Mystico did on this latest show?
Yes, yeah. So it's hard for me to give, like, things star ratings, but it was a decent opener. It was okay.
Are you a fan of Cavernario?
I'll tell you what he does is that splash from the top rope to the floor.
Yes.
He whips that out every Fantastic-a-mania. One of these times, somebody ain't going to get up. When he does that, that always brings me out of my seat. Always. And you see it coming, you know it's coming, and you're like, oh, this fucking idiot is going to do this again. He did it again. They didn't do it in this match, though, did he? No, he didn't do it in this match, but earlier in the week he did. Yeah, that's a nutty move. So, yeah, he's okay. Like, I know it's his gimmick. He's a caveman, right? So he's going to have... I just hate the writing all over him. Like, it just looks silly to me. Like, not even silly. It looks bad.
You think it looks like bad indie pro wrestling?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But I understand he's a caveman, so he's, you know, he's primitive, and he's drawing. Like, who gets the duty to draw the things on his back? That's what I want to know. Like, it's those kind of things that kind of fascinate me. Like, who does he recruit to do the drawing on his back?
Is it like a Finn Balor deal where he has to find a body paint artist?
Like Hanare has to draw again? Like, who's doing the drawing? That's what I want to know.
Could be Hanare. I hear he's an excellent artist.
Yeah? Okay. All right. He's into the body art. I do wonder that. Because I remember, like, the year previous where it was...
With Nakamura.
Yeah, he did this. What was it? The King of Caveman style?
Yes, it was.
Like
King of Caveman style. You got it.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Nunchucks.
The bone nunchucks. That's one thing I do miss. Is fucking... You know who was a classic during this? And I hate... Again, here we go. We should have, like, a counter of how many times we mentioned, like, consecutive shows. Shinsuke Nakamura. you know, somebody should ring a bell. Bing, 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 bing. We've hit our quota.
AJ Styles.
Yeah, bing, 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 bing. I do miss him on these shows. Like he was always a player. He came out in that mask and the bones and the fucking the bone nunchucks were great. What you think of this match, sir?
I thought it was a fine opening match. Cavernario picking up the win for his team on Panther Jr. Yeah, fine opener. You know, fun. Got your comedy stuff in there with Cavernario and Jado and Ghetto, and yeah, not much really I could say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of the Panthers. I'm okay without them. I think, if I had to pick anybody of this match, Carbonario would probably be my favorite, but that's a little bit of a stretch, too.
How is he a lightweight, by the way?
He's not.
But he was wrestling for the lightweight title.
Yeah. Listen, it's pro wrestling. Don't ask me.
All right.
What's next?
Next is Stuka Jr., Jushin Thunder Liger, and Tiger Mask 4 taking on Hechicero, Okamura, and Raziel.
Okay. Love this match.
Did you like the...
Colin, I loved everything in this match.
Did you like centipede mask gimmick?
Yep. And here's the thing. Every single match, everybody's going for the mask. And you know how much I love that. Like, every single match
It's one of your favorite spots next to Mist.
Mist and brawling in the crowd. Three things I can't stand. But Colin, everything went over for me. Everything was great. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the mask switcheroo, right? The Tiger Mask and who was it? With the switching of the mask, I forget. But, you know, Tiger...
Yeah, I know the spot after, you're talking about. Liger couldn't figure it out.
Right, so he goes after... Yes, to me, that was a fucking funny spot.
That was funny. That's humor that I enjoy right there.
Right, and even after the match, like, he peeks underneath the mask. He's like, okay, yeah, it's him. It's a Tiger Mask. Like, We're good. Good job. And I thought the match was really great. And I thought it was, like, you know... The energy and the quickness, and things were happening left and right, and there was no listen, this match could have easily been cut down a peg or two when it comes to the energy and speed, and that wasn't the case. Like, I thought everybody went balls to the wall in this match. They were going 100 miles an hour, and that was fine. You know, there was no need to slow down. They took advantage of, you know, all of the 8 minutes that they got. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And trust me, there were plenty of spots where you're like, you know, if this were any other place, like if they pulled this shit off, you know, I gotta be honest with you, even if they pulled this shit off at Wrestle Kingdom, I would love it. I thought this was a perfect, perfect second match. To me, this was a highlight of the day. And, you know, they made the most of their 8 minutes. I couldn't ask for anything more. Yep. Especially, again, the guys that were in the ring. You don't expect that that from a tiger mask. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And Tiger Mask picking up the win for his team with a Tiger Driver and a Tiger Suplex on Raziel for the pin. So there you go. Well said. Enjoyed it. Fun stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Next match I really enjoyed. A tag match featuring the team of Dragon Lee and Titan taking on Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi. Again, another match that was used to really get me amped up for this new beginning match that's coming up.
Yeah. I actually like the tag team of Takahashi and Bushi.
Yeah, Bushi was really good in this, I thought.
Yeah. It was Bushi, Takahashi. Who'd they go against? It was
Dragon Lee and Titan.
Dragon Lee. Yeah. On paper, that's a real good match. I don't know if it met my expectations going in. But I thought it was a solid match. And yes, it did absolutely get you more amped up for Takahashi Dragon Lee.
And it started out pretty balls to the wall, I might add.
I think all of them do. You know, I hate to belabor a point. I don't know how you don't enjoy these shows more.
No, it's not that I don't enjoy them. It's just that I have fun with a fair amount of the matches. But in the grand scheme of things, they don't mean anything except for, you know, matches like this that are used to build to an actual New Japan match.
Right. I get it. I know. But
they're there, you know? They're there. I'm not exactly sad that Fantastica Mania is over. I'm happy to be moving towards the new beginning.
Me too.
Look, I'm not going to say anything bad about this show at all. I don't think I have so far.
No. No, I just take your temperature periodically, and you know it's all the things that you enjoy about the programs, and you know when we get past the dome and I say okay, well next up we got Fantastica Mania, and I just feel like your whole disposition is be like oh fuck, but yet we kind of go through these shows and you enjoy them. I have to remind you that you enjoy them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is kind of a weird thing, you know. Yeah. I did have a good time watching this past show, but again, all right, at the same time, let's get to the good stuff now. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. Let's get to Suzuki.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat as you. Don't think I'm not, but we both know what it is. And I think we just have a little bit more fun with it sometimes. All right. What'd you think of this match? Give me some flakes.
If I was going to throw snowflakes at this match, I would say maybe 3.5 stars.
Exactly the number I was thinking in my head, Colm. Exactly the number I was thinking in my head. Let me ask you something about Takahashi, too.
Sure.
Like, one of the big pluses that people have been talking about him is the sloppiness of some of his maneuvers adds to his character.
Yes.
Adds to his his
that grimy prick, you were going to say it.
The grimy prick. That was what I was going to say. This match, so how many more times do we kind of say that until it gets to the point where it becomes a certain point where you keep fucking up things and it's just like, okay, dude, you're fucking up things. You know, when do we cross that line? Have we crossed that line yet? I almost crossed that line on this show.
I don't think I'm quite there yet. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah. There's one or two where it was just like, like there was the buckle bomb spot where it just felt like he completely undershot it, you know.
Takahashi there, I don't want to say that it doesn't matter, but the fact that he is so charismatic and so alluring and just has that star quality out of quite frankly more than anyone in the junior division, that kind of makes up for some of the sloppiness.
Okay. All right, and listen, I'm there with you. I'm still there, but I just feel like there's going to be a certain point where people are going to be like, oh, okay, you know, where the craziness and the that charisma gets outshined by, you know, and it starts hurting him in match quality. And again, we're not there yet, guys.
Well, listen, I don't think you're going to see that with the Dragon Lee match at New Beginning.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. I think you can expect a fucked up spot. How many fucked up spots you expecting here, Colin, in this match?
In the Dragon Lee match?
Give me an over and under. You think two? You think two noticeable ones where people are like, ooh.
Yeah, two noticeable ones, and then maybe a third one that like flies under the radar a little bit.
Right. Okay. All right. So one kind of iffy one, two where people are cringing,
but
two where people are selling it like it's fucking a Ricky Steamboat chop. Right.
Okay. Right. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, I hate to go on record and say things like this, but I think that we're going to be looking at a match of the year candidate once this is all said and done. I really do, because look, they're giving these guys are going to be the semi-main event of the evening for that second New Beginning card.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trust to put. When was the last time they placed that level of trust in the junior division where they put it that high up on the card, Damon?
And again, this is completely off the top of my head. Maybe Liger Kushida at Dontaku?
Yeah, maybe, but
or maybe
I'm not even sure.
Not even, but yeah, we can't count like best of the super juniors and all that stuff.
No. I'm just talking about, you know, a junior heavyweight title match, semi-main event on a major New Japan show.
I'm terrible. I don't even know what I had for breakfast this morning. But maybe a Bushi Kushida. Would that be somewhere high on a card? Maybe
I'm not even sure if that was a semi-main event even. No. I think I'm racking my brain. I can't think of the last time that they placed a junior heavyweight title match, semi-main event, on a pretty big card, not just a Korakuen spot show.
Yeah, this is a big spotlight match.
That's what I'm saying. And the pressure's on for them to deliver.
And they're going to give them time, though.
Yeah.
They'll give them time. Yeah, look, that's a bold statement, but you know, last year we had to whittle it down to 20 matches for our wrestler of the year or our match of the year.
We're already at four right now. The last time I counted.
Yeah. Listen, and these New Beginning shows, you know, you're going to get some.
Absolutely. I think Naito and Elgin, those guys are going to go out there. You know, they know they're in Osaka. This is a big stage for them.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah, this Dragon League I almost called him Kamatachi. you might be onto something there, pal. You might be onto something.
I'm telling you.
That's not a stretch. Let's put it that way.
Watch that match with great interest.
I will. I do a podcast on New Japan Pro Wrestling. I didn't know if you know.
How about it?
How about that?
But anyway,
all right, what do we got next here?
Anyway, this tag match, just to wrap it up there, Bushi getting the pinfall on Titan with his, I call it the wacky Bushi roll.
I'm starving. We got any wacky Bushi rolls?
and then, of course, after the match, Hiromu Takahashi stealing Dragon Lee's match, stripping him of his mask and leaving him bare.
Yeah, with a t-shirt over his head.
How embarrassing.
And he licked the mask. You see that?
Oh, he did. I did see that.
Ooh.
Very. There's almost some gold dust mannerisms going on with Takahashi.
Yeah, seriously. He's going to get hepatitis or something. Licking everything. Yeah, good stuff. You can't complain going into New Beginnings with the feud that is brewing in the junior division. Good stuff.
Alrighty, next match, we have the team of Maximo Sexy, Juice Robinson.
Your favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And Ryusuke Taguchi taking on Ifisto, Kazuchika Okada, and Will Ospreay. You know, this match only went a little over 8 minutes long, but I thought it was pretty enjoyable, especially any time Ospreay was in the ring. Although, I will say I could do... This was... Would you say that this was the goofiest match on the card?
It was goofy, Colin, but I didn't mind it. I don't know I really feel like it's a crapshoot watching these shows with me, because one day I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, this is fucking dirt worst. And then the next time I'll be like, yeah, you know what? It's kind of funny. It's, you know, it's they worked it well. I thought they worked it well. I thought they worked it well. The whole kissing spot was, I enjoyed it. With Juice and even at the end with Okada and Okada selling it. And
you know what spot I really liked?
What was that?
There was a spot where Will Ospreay goes to spank Maximo Sexy, and then he sells his hand afterwards.
Yeah, well, did you see the one spot where they kind of gave him a wedgie? They gave Maximo Sexy a wedgie.
Yes.
And then Okada does a double dropkick onto his ass cheeks, right? But then Okada gets up and he's wiping his boots as if to signify there is some kind of yuckiness that might be on his soles of his boots. Listen, it's goofy pro wrestling. You're getting goofy pro wrestling in this, but it was fun and well worked. And I thought Juice was great too. I thought everybody played their role well. I thought Taguchi was fine doing his Egyptian thing.
Yeah, Taguchi coming out with the King Tut gimmick and then doing the crisscross the ropes about 20 times while Okada just stares at him.
Right. But again, it's just silliness. It's nonsense. It is the complete opposite of what we saw on January 4th, but it was what it was. And if you just take it for that, it was good. And here's the thing, Colin, I didn't think the match was like it was, you know, Bushwhackers Beverly Brothers, you know, where it's just like, okay, it's comedy. And you're just like, oh my God, get out of the ring. Like they still did stuff in this match that was enjoyable and fun. They mixed in the comedy in the match. You know, it wasn't like Okada is, you know, Wrestle Kingdom Okada. You're not expecting that. This is exactly what you said before. These guys having a blast, having fun, and showing a different side of their personalities that they would never be able to show before. It was good, dude. I was fine.
And one thing about Okada I wanted to point out. This guy, I mean, you can imagine that he is still, you know, he's still hurting from that Omega match from the 4th. I mean, that took a lot out of him. And he actually did more in these Fantasticomania shows than I expected him to be doing going in. I mean, hey, he did the dropkick. He was doing planches to the outside throughout this weekend. He actually worked harder than I thought he was going to.
Than I felt like he needed to.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, he had an interview. And again, you go online. You know Chris Charlton. He's a legend with
the best translations.
I mean, it's so handy. I mean, you know, you always being a fan of this product for so many years, you always wanted something like this to occur, and you get this stuff almost on a daily basis from Chris. So, what is he at? ReasonJP, is it?
That is correct, Damon.
On the Twitter. Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I remember that, but I do remember that. So yeah. We all know him. So he translated an interview with Okada right after the Dome. And he was saying how Kenny Omega was taking some time off and, you know, it's all well and good, but he's the champion and he can't take time off. He's, you know, no matter how bruised and battered and broken he is, the guy's just not going to stop because he has responsibility. So even with that said, though, yeah, you would expect him to do even less than what he did. And he didn't do a whole hell of a lot, but he did more than even I thought he needed to do. So good for him. I did not mind the Maximo Sexy as much as some people. I saw some people that were just, you know, hand waving it and eye rolling it. And
here's the thing. And I'm not even talking about the gimmick. Just in ring wise, Maximo Sexy doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, no, me neither. Me neither. But here's the thing, and this is going to sound ridiculous coming out of my mouth. I found him to be adorable.
Really?
I really did. Like, I just found him to be adorable. Like, he just has that silly grin, and you know, even like the stuff with Tiger Hattori.
Right? Yeah, he's trying to,
you know,
kiss
he wants
Tiger.
To get patted down, and the Tiger Hattori's like, nah, you're good. You're fine. I'm sure you're fine. You know, it was that kind of stuff. And even the stuff with Juice, that he did in this match. Juice was going all in on the kisses, my man. He had no problem getting in there.
Hey, Juice is a free spirit.
Will Ospreay got in there as well.
He sure did.
And who was announcing? It wasn't Milan. Oh, they all wait. How can we fucking forget when he comes out of the ring? Maximo.
Yep.
And he comes over and you hear Milano, shit, 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 shit. Oh, how great was that?
And he got landed with one.
Well, it wasn't Milano. It was I forget who. There's two guys that do the play-by-play. And it's not the guy that everybody thinks it was. It was the other guy.
It's not Nagomi.
No, it wasn't Nagomi. It was the other guy whose name I'm having a senior moment. Anywho, I thought, again, I found him to be adorable. I found them to be adorable. There was nothing, nothing offensive about him. And there was nothing, offensive in a pro wrestling standpoint.
With all that being said, I can't tell you that I'm going to be going and checking out more Maximo sexy matches.
No, never. I'll never do it. But in this world, in this context, in this match, I was totally okay with it. I enjoyed it. I give him a thumbs up. And I actually he did what he needed to do, and he got a black-hearted, I've seen it all, jaded jerk off like me, even got a smile out of me, and even an occasional chuckle.
All right, so Okada picking up the win for his team in that match with the Rainmaker on Taguchi. And we move on to the next match. This was a tag match featuring the team of Atlantis, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kushida, and David Finlay taking on Rush, Tetsuya Naito, Sanada, and Evil. Before we get into the match, Damon, it's been since January 4th, right? It's January 22nd now. How have your feelings changed at all about the Go Ace theme?
No, it hasn't. It's
that's what I'm saying.
It's not good. It's not good. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, folks. This isn't going to be one of those themes that grows on you. And I said that when I first heard it.
Yeah. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I feel bad. But if I'm going to sit here and be honest, it's that the theme stinks. It's not even, it's okay. It stinks.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about Rush?
Yeah, let's talk about Rush.
What do you think about, and I'm not talking about the band.
I was going to say Moving Pictures is my favorite album.
Okay, right.
Roll the Bones is underrated.
Okay, all right. No, not that Rush. Not talking about that Rush. Not Geddy Lee. Neil Peart. Is it Peart?
It's Peart, actually.
Peart. Okay. Let me see if I can name the other guy. Don't tell me. Fuck. All right. It's Geddy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Blard.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that guitar player?
Blonde. Want me to tell you?
No. Alex Chilton? Mm-hmm.
You got the first half correct. Alex
Baldwin.
No.
Alex P. Keaton.
No. It is actually Alex Lifeson.
Ah.
Very underrated guitar player, and he and I share the same birthday.
Oh, well, congratulations.
August 27th.
All right. No, not that Rush, Colin. I'm talking about Los Ingobernables member Rush. Rush! What's your feelings on Rush?
Rush, I was going to ask you, is he a guy who you would like to see come in and spend a little more time in New Japan? Because I feel like I need to see more of Rush.
I don't get it. I'm not a fan. I'm not a guy that's going to be like, bring in Rush and get so excited when Rush comes in.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because it seems like, at least to me anyway, maybe this is a false perception that I have, that Rush is very popular.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's had more than a cup of coffee with New Japan. He had a nice little feud with Shinsuke.
Sure.
Ding, 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 ding. He's not foreign to New Japan Pro Wrestling watchers. He might be one of those guys where people like, and you just can't, I can't grab a hold onto him. Like, I can't find a hook with him. I can't.
Yeah,
he's just one of those guys that just does nothing for me, and I can't put my like, I don't hate him. It's not like he comes on my screen and I'm like, oh, fuck him.
No, it's not like Tagovailoa.
You know, I can't put my finger on exactly what it is with Rush that doesn't do anything for me. I don't know. Like, I don't think he had a great World Tag League by any stretch of the imagination, right? Like him, like, did he stand out at all during World Tag League?
I can't remember any of his matches.
Yeah. I mean, and truth be told, I can't really remember much any of his matches. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to chalk it up to one of those guys that I just can't find the hook. I can't find what is so appealing about Rush. Maybe, and listen, not maybe, people will chime in, and let me know what I'm missing. There's no doubt about that. Our listeners are good at that.
Oh, they're famous for that.
Telling me what I'm missing.
Especially you, Damon.
Oh, listen. If anything, what I do.
You're the heat magnet on this show.
Maybe I am, but I'm going to give you my opinion, right? And it may be, may not be a popular opinion, and I'll give you, what I feel and what I know, and kind of combine those two, and I'll give you 30 years of watching this shit experience. That's a good thing. I think, if it does breed conversation, although we are terrible at the conversation part, aren't we? Like, we don't really do a lot of conversation online. Like, people state their opinion and it kind of is like, oh, sit there. We don't really.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Truth be told, like, I really do need to pick up the slack on our Facebook account there a little bit, because we do have a lot of conversation going on there. And, like, for all our listeners, feel free to talk amongst yourselves as
right.
well.
Please. Yes, please. We need people to carry conversations on our social media accounts, because we do an absolute fucking terrible job.
Well, hey. You can always find the latest episode there.
That is true. That is true. And usually there are comments there. Who are the people that comment there? We see Aaron on there a lot, right?
Yep,
Mackie's
on
there a lot.
Yep.
Who's the other guy that always seems to disagree with everything I say? I forget. What's the guy's name?
I've got to go back and check that out. But
he's a comedian. Like if you look at his profile. Yes, I do a little Facebook stalking. But he's a comedian. He does comedy stuff. What was I going to say? Who knows
about
okay,
Rush?
Rush, yeah. But I don't see the love for Rush. But tell me what I'm missing.
I'll tell you what. I was watching Kushida in this match, and you forget sometimes that this guy is like one of the best pro wrestlers in the world. I swear to God.
Oh, yeah.
Like Kushida, I don't know what it was, but he really shone in this match for me.
Yeah, you know who I'm thinking of too. Not only Rush, but is it La Sombra?
Yeah, La Sombra in, currently, I don't even know what his current name is right now in NXT.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad that I forgot what his name is, but
I like La Sombra more than I like Rush.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. La Sombra, I'll take him over Rush, but okay. Hey, to each his own,
Yeah. All right. Kushida is awesome. I mean, he's subtle. He's Rob Ferry's favorite pro wrestler. A lot of shout outs today on the show. Big time Kushida fan, and why not? He's just tremendous.
What do you think of a Kushida possibly challenging, let's say, Goto for the NEVER title? What do you think of a matchup like that?
I think the match should be fine, but I unfortunately think that the old New Japan thinking of heavyweight versus junior always leans toward the junior, or excuse me, leans toward the heavyweight.
Right.
Kushida, what I would like to see is Kushida not be a junior. I don't know how physically that would happen.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think a good stepping stone for him would be the NEVER title.
Yeah, like how we all thought Kyle O'Reilly was going to turn out, right?
Exactly.
That's what I would like to see Kushida kind of be. kind of follow in those footsteps. And I think he still feels like he has unfinished business to do as a junior, but I would like to see that. Speaking of Kyle O'Reilly, and I know we're all over the place.
That's the PyroCast.
That's what we do. We're like a jumping bean.
A Mexican jumping bean.
You know, is there really such a thing as a Mexican jumping bean?
I think that's a myth.
Is it?
I could be wrong.
I have to ask my friend Gabby. She's Mexican.
Any of our Mexican listeners, let us know about the validity of Mexican jumping beans, please.
Yeah, we're too lazy to Google it. What about Bobby Fish?
What about Bobby Fish? What is that guy going to do? Because, like, okay, so Bobby Fish is a little bit older.
A little bit.
You know, he's a little bit older. But, man, he's a damn good pro wrestler. And I feel like, you know, perhaps for good reason, Kyle O'Reilly really outshined him in that team.
Do you think so?
A little bit. I mean, O'Reilly was definitely, I think, perceived as the star of that team. But, man, Bobby Fish, underrated wrestler, damn good worker.
Yeah, I wonder where that leaves him, especially when it comes to New Japan.
Right.
Right. That's we haven't seen him in a while.
He's another guy that, to me, I don't want to see him in the junior division. I don't think he's a very good fit.
You think he's a better heavy?
Yeah, absolutely. Because to me, the junior heavyweight division now more than a long time in New Japan is really, really kind of, do I want to say, getting back to its roots a little bit.
The juniors.
Yeah, the juniors.
Yeah, this year is going to be an outstanding year for juniors, guys. All right. I mean, again, you look at all of what is going on, and we kind of fast forward to the summer months with that Best of the Super Junior. I mean, the names that we could rattle off are pretty amazing. And I hate to say it, even like the Suzuki Goon guys coming back, it does add a little bit of spice and a little bit of spark. And even though they're guys that usually were just like, ugh, I can't believe we're sitting through these guys again, it does feel a little bit fresh. It's 2 years removed. It does add a little bit of spark. It could be interesting. And again, over and above the Ospreys, even like the Ricochet, the Rocky Romeros, the Dragon Lees, Kamui Tachis. This is going to be a real nice. This is going to be a real nice Best of the Super Juniors. I hope it lives up to the hype.
Man, we said that last year too, and it was.
Yeah,
but
it
this
was,
year,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of potential with the amount of people that could be involved. But nevertheless, I digress. What did you think of this tag match?
Which one are we talking about here?
I know, we're so far off the map.
All right.
Dragon Lee, Titan, Tanahashi, and Juice, and Finley taking on LIJ.
Good. Solid. You know, anytime you – I think as a unit, and there's been – we've seen so many of these, you know, multi-man tags with Los Ingobernables. But Los Ingobernables has it down pat. You know what I mean? Like, they just have it down solid. And it might be a bit formulatic. Formulatic? Help me out, Colin.
Formulaic.
It's patterned. It might be, right? But they have it down pat. And you're always consistently, constantly going to get, you know, that at least 3-star multi-man match with these guys. And then on the other side, you have great workers, of course, like Tanahashi, even a David Finley, who's there to make everyone else look solid and strong.
Right, and I did misspeak there. I was looking at the other card. The team was Atlantis, Tanahashi, Kushida, and Finley.
Okay. Well,
taking on Rush, Naito, Sonata, and Evil.
I'm okay without the Atlantis. I'm good. The Atlantis.
No Atlantis for Damon, please.
I'm all right with hold the Atlantis, please. Yeah, put it on the side. I'll take a little bite of the Atlantis,
like the coleslaw.
Exactly. You don't really need it, but every once in a while you want a little taste of it, and you don't want it incorporating in the rest of your meal.
No, certainly not.
Exactly. So that's exactly how I felt about this match, come to think of it. So yeah, it was good, solid.
Good 10-minute tag match. Naito picking up the win over Finley, of course, there to take the fall for his team.
Yeah. Yeah, who else? I mean, that was kind of, you expected that much. You expected that much. But it was a good match, fine match. Nothing to go out of your way to see if you haven't seen Saul, watched it. But it was good. It was fun.
A match that I would go out of my way to see was this next match, the semi-main event. We've got Mystico taking on Euphoria.
Yeah. Now, this is the lucha that you like.
Yes,
right?
Yes. This, great high-flying here.
Lots of high-flying. And lots of, dare I say, death-defying. That one spot, Colin, we like to talk about. We like to highlight the spots that kind of bring us out of our collective chairs and couches. Off the ramp, right?
Yeah.
Right where I was sitting for Dash.
You know, it's funny because as I started...
I would have tripped him.
As I started watching these Korakuen shows, whenever they show that entranceway with the people sitting up top, I expect to see you there now. Even though I know you're not there in Tokyo... I'm where's Damon? I can't.
Wouldn't it be just a surprise if I just did a surprise flight over, and you see me there?
I wouldn't be surprised.
There's a guy. All right, so remember, I told the story about Inyanos, how there was this gentleman, sharp dressed gentleman from New Zealand originally, lives in Tokyo now.
And Yuhito, right?
No. So I did meet up with him. It was a listener. I never get the poor guy's name. So if you're listening, please tweet us. Let us, because I forget your name. But he spent the whole evening with us, right, at Yano's. I have pictures of the guy, right, with the guy. Again, very, very well dressed. He had a nice suit on. Again, originally from New Zealand, lives in Tokyo with his wife. He was at one of these shows, and he was at ringside. He was literally in the front row. And they panned the crowd. I was like, oh, my God, there's the guy. And I recognized him because he was wearing the same fucking exact suit to this show that he wore at Yano's. I just remember because he came up because we were sitting there, and we're all there. We're all drinking. And he comes up. He goes, hey, you're Damon from the PureCast. And I was like, yeah, hey, how you doing? And he's like, my name's – and I'm terrible. Listen, I had 9 beers by that point. Yeah,
a lot of carbs, Damon.
Oh, plenty of carbs. That's my favorite. Every time I post something like that, you're always with the carbs. And he's like, yeah, I listen all the time, blah, blah, blah. And he, you know, grabbed a seat and he hung out with us, which was awesome. Good guy. Great listener. Great pro wrestling fan. But I saw him at ringside at the Fantastic Mania show. So I just thought I'd bring that up. All right. Good match there with the LIJ and the rest of the crew. All right. What else we got?
Yeah, well, that was the Mystico and...
we're talking Mystico. That's right, my bad. I'm sorry. Thank you, Colin, for driving this fucking train.
Mystico and Euphoria. Mystico picking up the win there. Yeah, this, like you said, this is the style that I enjoy most out of the show. Look, if you're going to do a lucha show at Korakuen Hall with New Japan, let me take some of this.
Yeah. Again, that the spot that I was referring to was off that that landing, where again, everybody knows what I'm talking about. The almost like a little tiny stage area where people will sit. There's like 2 rows of seats, folding chairs. He did that one Hurricane Rana off of that. That was pretty.
Yeah, that was scary. And
it really was. It really was scary because one slight slip and screw up, that dude's breaking his neck. That's not very high. Like if I stood there, it probably goes up to my shoulders. That platform, and he's, you know, that's that got me out of my seat.
So moving on to our main event of the evening, we had
wait. Before main event, give me some stars, Colin.
Oh, you want stars for this match? I'm gonna give
of
this
course.
One solid 4.
I'm giving it 6 stars.
7.5.
6.25. Yeah, I think 4 I'm comfortable with. I'm comfortable with 4 delicious snowflakes.
Yeah, yeah. If anything, this was one of those matches where after you watch it, you thought to yourself, man, you know, I would like to see more from both of these guys.
Would you want either of these guys in on the Best of the Super Junior?
That's what I was thinking. I could see both of them. I can see especially Mystico.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would dig that. That would be fun. If we could find a way to pull that one off, that would be ideal. That would be my ideal. Yeah, I would give it 4. I think if you're looking for as Colin calls it, the fun lucha, the good lucha, the lucha that he enjoys, I think I enjoy more as well. Go back and watch that, and maybe you become even more of a bigger fan.
Alrighty, so moving on to the main event. This was Evolador Jr. taking on Ultimo Guerrero. Speaking of guys who you want to see in this year's Best of the Super Junior tournament, man, to me, there's something about Evolador Jr. I just think that he's fantastic.
I think he's more of a heavyweight, though.
You think so?
He's more of a, yeah. I think he would be. I don't think he's in the junior world. I think he would probably fit more in the heavyweights.
I know what you're saying. His frame definitely looks like more of a heavyweight, but just the things that he can do, the ricochet stuff, he can do the Will Ospreay stuff.
Yeah,
that's why I think he's such a perfect fit.
Yeah, and that's saying something. You know what I mean? That's pretty impressive if you think about that. I wonder how much he does weigh. He seems stocky. Like, he just seems like he's like a.
He definitely has more of kind of like a Neville build almost. Like,
yeah,
pretty jacked in a way.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
But no, I have no problem with him being involved in the junior heavyweight division. And again, a guy who just I think is so talented should absolutely be in Best of the Super Juniors once again. I believe he was in last year's. And now, you mentioned that you didn't get a chance to check out this match against Ultimo Guerrero, correct?
I did miss this one. Yeah, I did. I did have to skip this one. Give me your hot take.
Look, go back and watch this match. Both these guys. I mean, I know you said that you don't really prefer the more, shall we say, barrel chested guys that are on the card. You know, some of the older guys, but man. Ultimo Guerrero, I'll tell you what, he really worked his ass off in this match. And there was one spot in particular that freaked me out that was pretty scary, where Evolador Jr. goes to do... He does a senton over the top rope, like a flying senton, clears the ropes, and Ultimo Guerrero catches him in a powerbomb position, just powerbombs him on the floor. That was pretty cool.
Okay. You think it's the best match of the show?
Part of me liked Mystico and Euphoria a little more, maybe just a smidge more, but
I thought that was best match of the show. Yeah.
Yeah. That to me was still best match of the show, but, definitely go back, check out this Volador Jr. Ultimo Guerrero match.
How long did it go? They think
15 minutes actually.
Okay.
Little over 15 minutes. Solid, solid main event.
4?
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. Okay. All right. Where would you put this in of all the stuff that you saw during the entire weekend? Second best match?
It's definitely in that. If I was going to pick like 5 matches, I think it's in that top 5.
Okay.
Again, Volador Jr.
He's good. He's good. I know he's good. Ultimo Guerrero, he's not my cup of tea, but he can be good. I think it's like when you remember last week when we went over the matches and we went over main events.
Sure.
And you read off that match, and I was just like, you know, in the back of my mind, I knew they worked well together. They know each other. It should be good. I don't know if it's the style that I like. I don't know. It's just for whatever reason, I was kind of shitting on it a little bit. But you're giving it a Colin Miller recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely. Go back and check it out. You know, even though Volador Jr. was clearly the star of the match, I think that Ultimo Guerrero worked very hard and did a lot of high-flying aerial maneuvers himself.
Would you say this is the 6th best New Japan match this year so far?
I'm not going to go that far, David.
Well, let's go through it. You got 4 Wrestle Kingdom matches, right?
Yeah, I would put those 4 Wrestle Kingdom matches the second half of the show. Yeah, those are all to me match of the year nominees. Absolutely.
Okay, and then what else is there? Nothing from Dash, right?
No, nothing from Dash. But truth be told, I don't think that there's anything from these Fantastica Mania cards that are.
What else would be better?
That are going to be in the end of year awards.
Oh no! Not by the end of the year. Don't get me. Don't. But as we stand right here on January 22nd. 6th best New Japan match of the year, and it's going to be gone.
I almost said Kamaitachi, the Takahashi versus Teton match from I think it was the first night.
Okay,
I think collectively out of these three nights, that may have been my favorite match out of all of them.
Okay. I'm kind of leaning toward you with that as well. I enjoyed that match as well. We'll get there in a moment. Okay. All right. I just thought I'd get a gauge. All right. So it's in the top 10. New Japan matches here on the 22nd of January.
Yeah, look, this was a good match, but again, at the end of the year, are we going to be talking about Volador Jr. versus Ultimo Guerrero? No. And honestly, at the end of the year, I don't think we're really going to be talking about any of these matches. There wasn't, you know, last year we had the Kamaitachi versus Dragon Lee, which made it into that match of the year talk. There's nothing from these cards that's going to make it into the match of the year talk. And hey, if you disagree with me, you know, let me know. I'd be curious to hear if our listeners think if there's anything in here that's even going to, you know, sniff that possible match of the year talk.
I'm in 100% full agreement with you, Colin Miller. I don't think that there was anything from these Fantastica Mania shows. But here's the thing. I think that this last show, well, I can't even say that. I think last year. All right, let's do this. I'll answer your first question. Do I think that there are any matches from Fantastica Mania this year that we'll be talking about come match of the year time? No, I do not. My question to you, was this Fantastica Mania series of events better than last year's?
Yes, that's the thing.
Really?
Even though last year we did have a match of the year candidate with Kamaitachi and Dragon Lee, I thought collectively these three shows, maybe it was because I went into them with more of an open mind. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
Just this show in particular was just, you know, again, if we're not going to have, if it's going to be in a bubble, at least make it a fun, enjoyable, little over 2 hours pro wrestling show. And that's what this was.
Okay. I can see that. I enjoyed last year's a little bit more than this year's, but that does not to shit on this year's. I thought this year's was enjoyable. I wasn't dreading watching. And like I said, this last show, coming out of this last show, it was an enjoyable, fun diversion from New Japan that we usually get during the year. So that's where that is. We got one more match, don't we?
No, that was the main event, Damon.
That was the main event.
Yep, Volador Jr. versus Ultimo Guerrero.
Why didn't what happened in my life where I didn't watch that? Something happened this morning. Oh, yeah, I remember. I had to go help my wife bring in groceries. So I put it on pause, and then the next thing you know, it's like, I gotta do a show. So good. I'm glad you picked up the slack for me there, Colin. I'll go back and watch it. I think if you haven't watched it, maybe everybody else can do the same. Good recommendation from you, Miller. All right. That's Fantastica Mania for that night. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the other highlights, right, Colin?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, that the Takahashi-Titan match really stood out to me. Those guys, again, Takahashi, when he just comes out, he's just such a star. And to me, having the belt, the junior heavyweight belt, on a guy like him, not to disparage anyone who has, you know, held it in the past years, like Kushida and Omega, but here's a guy who is going to take this title and really elevate it again.
Yeah, he does bring an excitement and a fire that maybe is not there. And I do like a baby face chasing a belt. I do like that. So if eventually we do see Kushida back into the fold, which I think we will, those are going to be exciting matches. So for me, that's the exciting part, Colin, is the fact that, you know, I want it to have other guys have the opportunity. Again, Ospreay, Ricochet. You know, let's give it time before we have another rematch with Kushida, and those matches will be great. Don't get me wrong, but you know, there's so many guys that you know are exciting and sexy to me to think about matches together. You know, we don't have to jumpstart with a Kushida winning a multi-man tag match, right? And then challenging for the belt.
No,
right? To me that.
The Takahashi Kushida feud is something that needs a breather, I think, until Dominion.
That's fine. That's cool. But and again, what I would love to see is for Kushida to work his way up and get singles wins over maybe some of those other juniors to reestablish him as the top junior.
Right.
You know what
you
I mean?
Can't just jump right back into the pool.
Right. I don't want to see him, like I said, beating Takahashi in a multi-man tag, and now he's the number one contender. Ideally, I would love to see Takahashi taking care of one or two other challengers, and at the same time, Kushida maybe pinning other people in tag matches, singles matches, whatever, building himself back up to then challenge. I don't want to see him just pinning Takahashi in some random match and then challenging for the belt.
No, absolutely not. Like you said, the thought of Takahashi versus Will Ospreay, Takahashi versus Ricochet.
Yeah.
How about Takahashi versus Volador Jr.?
Yes. All of them. Delicious matches, sexy matches. You can't fucking beat that. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see silly, you know, they can do this right. Let's just hope with fingers crossed that they do this right. But getting back to the match with Titan, I enjoyed this match. Was this my favorite match of the weekend? Might be. But it's in the top three.
Yeah, it's definitely in the top three, top five. Either way, a match that really stood out on cards that I was not excited about.
Right, I agree. What did you think of the follow up to that match, the Dragon Lee Cavernario match?
That was a good match, but here's my problem with Cavernario. His in ring style, I'm not that crazy about.
Okay.
And I don't think that to me he doesn't work well with. I didn't see much chemistry there between him and Dragon Lee. I don't know, maybe it was just me, but Cavernario, again, not a guy that I see as a lightweight and not a guy that I want to see wrestle the likes of Dragon Lee and Takahashi and, you know, the more high flyers. Cavernario's style is something, it lends itself to a different type of match.
Yeah, I thought the match was very good. I would go so far as to go, I don't know if I'm going four with this.
I wouldn't go four with it. Yeah,
I don't feel four. I think it's close, but I don't think I wouldn't go four. Again, I think I like Cavernario a little bit more than you. I think you do have a point where I didn't feel like there was a tremendous amount of chemistry. I felt that there was a little awkwardness at times, some missteps. But I thought the match was good. I didn't think it was great, and I wouldn't put it in the fours. If I had to give a top five, I would probably put it in that five. But truth be told, I probably would – I'll tell you what, I really like that six-man tag with Liger and Tiger Man. I really like that a lot from this past show.
Is this something you're going to go back and watch, though?
No. Colin, truth be told, only because you told me to go watch it, I'll watch the main event from tonight.
Yeah.
There's not a lot that I'm going to go back and watch.
I was going to say, what did you think of the main event from the following night, the Saturday show, which was for the World Heavyweight title, CMLL, Maximo Sexy taking on Hechicero?
I couldn't get into it, man.
Me
I'm
neither.
Sorry.
Me
I
neither.
I couldn't get into much of anything on that show, to be truthful. There wasn't a lot that I could really sink my teeth into on that. Again, the nights got better and better as we went along in Fantastica Mania weekend, but... yeah, truth be told, I wasn't feeling that match at all.
Any other standout matches from either of the first two nights for you?
Not really, dude. I mean, I hate to be, you know, now it sounds like we didn't like it.
That's not the case, though. It's just...
It's really not. It's really not. And I think the matches got better and better as they went along. I'm trying to really think of, like, things that really went out of, like, where I was like, ah, oh, that was a really... decent match. Like, I didn't think any of the opening stuff for night, like the Liger, Tiger Mask against Jado, Ghetto, and was it Raziel? Raziel?
Yeah, Raziel.
It was, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Blue Panther and Hanare. That wasn't bad. Blue Panther, Hanare, Fisto, and Will Ospreay. That wasn't bad.
Here's the thing with these shows, like, as it pertains to us, I feel like it's our responsibility to talk about the matches that, as you were alluding to earlier, are just good wrestling that anyone can enjoy. You know, there are, if you're looking for in-depth analysis on Lucha Libre, this is certainly not your podcast, but I think that we're pointing out the matches on these three cards that, you know, any New Japan fan could go and appreciate.
Correct. I hope we did it some justice. Again, this is not, to me, you even said it last in a text, like, you hated last year's show. That we did.
Yeah. that was one of my, you know, I love doing every show, but that was my least favorite time recording.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, again, I think we went into it forcing ourselves to be open-minded, which I think is good. We went into this trying to find the positives as opposed to finding the things that we didn't like. And I think there was a lot of positives. I would recommend watching the third show. I'll go so far as to say I would recommend watching the third show. It's an enjoyable, fun, and there's that word that I think is a lazy word, but there's nothing better to describe something easily digestible under right around 2 hours. Little comedy, a lot of high speed stuff, some really solid matches, some 4 stars in there. It's a good show. Night three, if you had to, you had time for one of these, stick with night three, you'll be satisfied.
It's kind of a great one of those great rainy day wrestling shows, you know what I mean? Where you're kind of just, you know, you're hanging around the house or the apartment, you don't have anything to do, you want to watch some pro wrestling, you know, nice, easily digestible, not too long show to just pop on and kind of just relax to.
Yes. And again, I can't, the best I can tell you is we recommend night three. Night three is good. Yeah. All right. That's fantastic. I made it, Colin. You did it.
Yeah. Are you proud of me, Damon? Are you proud of me that I got through it?
Listen, I know
with as minimal bitching as possible.
You did good. And I think next year we'll go through the same song. And here's the problem too, because you're coming off of Wrestle Kingdom. How many times have you watched Wrestle Kingdom?
I've watched the second half of the show at least one more time.
Yeah. How many times have you watched Okada Omega?
Still only 3 times.
Okay.
With three different commentaries.
I watched it 4 times, I think.
Yeah, I want to go back again. I want to check out the Kevin Kelly Carino commentary again, actually.
I'll tell you what you watch. I don't know if it's the full match, but I think they did an outstanding fucking job. Is whoever's doing the social media account for New Japan.
The global one.
Yeah. Well, they usually, I can't say usually, but sometimes they shit the bed. But sometimes they hit a home run. Those guys hit a home run. Because they had like a handheld version, like they had a guy who's just shooting the Omega match from ringside on this, no commentary, just one camera following the action, and it was captivating.
Is it the entire match?
I think it's the entire match, Colin. I think it's the entire match.
That would be an interesting perspective.
It really was. It took you right in the action. It was really interesting. The second thing that they did is they did these three movies, features, whatever, probably about 20 minutes long each, with Kenny Omega before the match, during the match, after the match.
I saw the clip right before his entrance when he was backstage with the Bucks.
Yep. That was great, where he's kind of, you know, looking at least he's watching the promo that everyone saw at the Dome. And he's backstage with the Bucks, kind of getting the nervous energy out, and he's ready to rock and roll. They had people interviewed, like talking about Kenny Omega, like, and a couple of the members of the Classic Board. I believe it was James Snellgrove got himself some TV time. Again, another shout out. So those things are so well produced and just so fucking great that they capture a lot of the emotion and the raw feel, and you know, they follow after the match, they're following them back, you know, into the backstage area and into the press room, and it's like there's this long walk to get to the media presser room, and even they say, like, Jesus Christ, this walk is forever. Like, they can't give us carts or something. I just killed myself, which was funny.
and then they close it with them leaving the press conference area. Highly recommend it. I can't recommend those videos. Their social media team hit the ball out of the fucking park with those videos. If you haven't watched them, go out of your way to go on your Facebook and check them out. They're really well done.
And Damon, while we're on the subject of Kenny Omega,
who?
Yeah, you might have heard of him. He's one of the hottest names in pro wrestling.
Yeah, I think I heard his name mentioned once or twice. We got a lot of response, Colin. I don't know if you heard.
We got
from our show last week about our feelings on this whole situation.
This was, I feel like it was one of the most talked about PuroCast episodes in quite a long time. And that's saying something, because we have a ton of people that tune in each and every week, and we thank you guys so much for that. But this episode in particular was a very, I don't know if polarizing is the right word, but it kind of split our audience right down the middle with what they think is going to happen with the future of Kenny Omega. On one side, you had
the optimists.
You had the optimists, the young cockeyed optimists that are of the belief that this is all a work, as they say, and Omega is going to remain in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And then you have, do we want to say the realists? Do I want to use that word?
The pessimists, I believe I was called. The pessimistic Damon.
Yep, right? yep. Pessimistic Damon.
I like that. My wife agreed.
Well, hey, if the shoe fits, you must
shoe
wear
fits.
It.
It was a snug fit.
We had the other side of our audience that was saying, you know what, Damon's right. This is probably how it's going to go down. And as I listened to various Kenny Omega interviews throughout the week, from the Taz show, from the great interview that he did on F4W with Dave and Brian, I think...
First name basis there, Colin, huh?
Oh, all right. Well, of course. I think that podcast in particular, the Meltzer Alvarez one, was very telling, in my opinion, and I'm almost, I don't want to say that I'm 100% in either way, but Damon, I'm a little bit more on your side of thought now after listening to some of these interviews. And here's the thing. Kenny Omega was a guy who was saying how he wants to change the pro wrestling business. That's what he's been saying. That's kind of been his mantra for a while. And I said to myself initially, well, dude, how are you going to change the business in a promotion that is trying to monopolize the business and is going to have you handcuffed?
And doesn't want to be the business.
And doesn't want to be the business. Exactly. I think, and this is going to sound crazy, I think that there is a part of Kenny Omega where he believes if he goes there, he could be the next big, dare I say, Rock or Austin caliber star that they have been looking for a long time now.
That's what he wants to be.
Yeah.
But I think that's what everybody wants to be.
I think that he really believes, though, that he can be that big star that they've been looking for. And I think to him, that's what he means by change the business, to get pro wrestling to be, what do they call that? Water cooler talk again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's, truth be told, I think that's everyone's goal. But yeah, I mean, that's, listen, I deal with athletes almost on a daily basis, right? So I talk to a lot of sports people, not only the athletes themselves, but reporters who cover the beat every single day, and ancillary people that are in and around, right? So Colin knows this. I've mentioned it many times on the show that, yeah, if there's a sports personality in North America, I've probably stuck a microphone in their face. From Peyton Manning to
to AJ Petrucci.
To AJ Petrucci. To LeBron James, Sidney Crosby.
It's a who's who of sports stars.
A who's who of sports stars. So when I hear people talking in the way that Kenny Omega talks, it's very reminiscent of a guy who's holding out, or who's at the end of his contract and, you know, is renegotiating to be a free agent or to not be a free agent. So there's a lot of tells that I hear when he communicates on these various shows and podcasts. And here's the thing, Con, we could have had Kenny Omega. You know that.
Yeah, we could have.
We could have turned in that card. You know, that I, you know, he made, go back to those tweets and those mentions where he said, I'm not doing podcasts anymore. And I said, well, geez, I'm never letting you in line again. And he said, well, I'll make an exception for the Pure Cast. We could have had him. All right. But our technology stinks. Anywho, but I hear a lot of this, that's the same talk. When he talks about being a free agent, when he talks about changing the business, when he talks about the non-committalness. Again, I find it hard to believe that he's doing this to put a gun to New Japan's head for more money. I just don't think that's what's happening here.
And for the people who are saying that he's trying to work us.
I find that really hard to believe.
He's going to put all of his energy
into this, right? It's a two dopes sitting in their pajamas talking about pro wrestling.
Yeah, because look, let's face it, ladies and gents. New Japan fans here in North America,
they're not many.
Yeah, they're few and far between. You know, there's thousands.
On the grand scheme of things.
Whereas
right?
with WWE, there are millions.
Yeah, again, you become an international star the minute you walk on to Raw. And again, we all know this. These are all things that we know. But I find it difficult to believe that Kenny Omega is going to waste time and energy trying to work
a few thousand fans.
Right. For what? For what gain and what purpose? Like, what would be the? And I know people. Well, to create a buzz. Okay. To us.
I understand what they're trying to say, too, because let's face it, as great as that match was, people forget about matches like the next
Nobody's
going to
forget about that match.
Well, no one's going to forget about that match. I think you know what I'm trying to say, though. After a while, the buzz about the initial match cools down.
Right.
And, you know, what do you do to keep your name out there after that buzz cools down?
Yeah,
I think that's what they're trying to say. But,
how depressing is that, though? How depressing is that in the sense that isn't that the promotion's job? You know what I mean? Like a wrestler has to go out of their way to create some swerve.
That's why I couldn't be a wrestler, Damon. It's too much work.
Right, it's exhausting. I mean, the guy just wrestled the match of his career, and now he's got to go work on swerving people.
Yeah, he's got to work the social media gimmick.
Hey, fuck all that. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't. I think people like to throw around the work term. And look, can I be clear? Can I be crystal clear here and say that I hope and pray that I'm wrong? Can I? Because the last thing I want to see is Kenny Omega. I'm going to see more Kenny Omega in New Japan. And that is for pure selfish reasons.
I want to see that Okada rematch at Dominion.
I'll see it tomorrow if that means Kenny Omega signs on the dotted line. The things that have me concerned, again, are the fact that, one, just if he signed, just sign. Just tell me he signed. Like, just say you signed. Like, and there's so much non-committal, and I don't understand the non-committalness. He's not doing this to hold out for more money. Like, I find that hard to believe. He's going through all these channels. And if you're New Japan and he's doing this, you got to look at him and be like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You know what I mean? Like, why are you doing all this?
And also, that Meltzer Alvarez interview again, didn't it seem, at least to me, it seemed like this. I don't know if you picked up on it, but it sounded like he was almost giving New Japan like advice,
too much credit.
Advice. Like as he's walking out the door, he's giving them advice, saying, "Yeah, they really need to avoid this. Here's what they should do going forward." That's what it came across to me as. Like he's walking out the door, and he's saying, "Hey, you know, just a tip. Here's what you can do.
Yeah,
you know, in the future."
I did pick up on that. I did feel that too, Colin. Look. Again, people are going to sit here and listen to the show and be like, well, why are they fucking talking about this? Because he hasn't left and there's no need to speculate. I think this is a bigger deal than just a Kenny Omega thing, though. You know what I mean?
It is.
Like, and I hate talking about the WWE. Trust me, there was somebody who made a comment like, "Does you always go on these fucking rants with WWE?" No, I don't. But like, I think this was a perfect storm of I'm tired of that stuff happening, and it, you know, I think it's bigger than Kenny Omega, though. I think it's bigger than Kenny Omega in the sense that, listen, we want New Japan to prosper and grow and
not be a feeder system.
And not be a feeder system. That's really it. And I feel that way, passionately I feel that way, about all pro wrestling. I don't want Noah to be a feeder system for New Japan. I don't want All Japan to be a feeder system for New Japan. Like, I really don't want that.
I don't want TNA to be a feed... never mind.
Never mind. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I want healthy pro wrestling. I my dream would be that every promotion, not every single promotion, because that's impossible, but, you know, promotions to have enough of a fan base and enough interest to be able to pay their wrestlers a decent wage so they don't have to, like, you know, be a janitor on the side.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't want to see Dalton Castle bagging groceries on the weekends.
Right. And that, you know, it's that. Like, nothing makes me happier than hearing about healthy pro wrestling, like the health of pro wrestling. And I think that by New Japan getting sideswiped, if this is the case, again, if this is the case, I don't know. I'm only going on what I've been told and what I've been hearing. And again, nobody said to me, "Damon, Kenny Omega is leaving." Like, nobody said that to me. So I want to make that point perfectly clear. But again, it's the discussions that I've had and things that have been said, and then taking that into what I'm hearing coming from the other sides, it's just like it seems to me that that's going to be the case. And I could be dead wrong, and I hope I'm dead wrong. All right. I've beaten to death.
Another point I wanted to make as I was listening to these interviews and thinking about Kenny Omega's career in Japan, I would say, looking at his career in Japan, what else is there for him to do? I mean, he became the first North American wrestler to win the G1, like maybe the fifth or sixth North American wrestler to headline the Tokyo Dome. I mean,
even the Budokan stuff.
With DDT. Yeah,
I mean,
with
Ibushi. Like taking a promotion like DDT, who, let's be honest, they're an indie pro wrestling, you know, and they have their fans and they have their popularity, but, you know, they're not going to sell out the Dome anytime soon. And neither is New Japan, to be quite truthful. But the, you know, what they were able to accomplish there with him, he's accomplished a lot. And really the only thing he hasn't done is be the top guy in New Japan. And that means hold the belt for a significant amount of time.
If he does that, he's going to be another year older.
I don't know how important that is to him right now. I can't answer that. But it sounds
it
to me
factor.
Like, yeah, it sounds to me like, honestly, again, reading between the lines, I know you can pick up. Sometimes people pick up what they want to pick up. I get that. I understand that, and I recognize that. Trust me, people. But again, from what I hear, and again, perception is reality. I hear a guy who feels like he's. Like that match, what else could he do in Japan? You know what I mean? Like, what else could he headlined the Dome? What else could he do? What else is there? And it sounds like he's ready for new challenges. That's just my take on it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and he's a guy who is who's at his peak. He's in the prime of his career. He's not going to be 33 forever. He's only going to get older. And if there was a time, you know, for him to try something new and venture out into the States and see if he can really become that that elusive star that they've been looking for, now's as good a time as any. And while I'm not 100% yet in the he's leaving camp, I've moved more towards that direction than I was at last week.
Pessimistic Colin.
No, not pessimistic, just in Colin, you know, in deep thought, laying out all the factors on the table, examining them using logic. That's kind of the Colin that you have here today.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, we could be dead wrong, and I hope we're dead wrong.
Yep.
And I hope come New Japan Cup, we see his curly locks and black tights and the whole nine yards. I hope so. I pray so. And maybe we'll be rewarded with those positive thoughts. But yeah, that's where we are with Kenneth. We'll see what happens.
Young Kenneth.
Young Kenneth.
All right. Well, Damon, that about wraps up today's edition of the PuroCast. But next week, we are going to be on the road to the new beginning from Corrigan Hall. The next big NJPW World Show takes place this coming Friday, January 27th. It is the road to the new beginning. And would you like to hear some of the matches?
I would love to hear a handful of those matches. Let me guess, 506 multi-man tag matches.
505, actually.
Ah, my bad. What we got?
Main event, we've got Kazuchika Okada, Rocky Romero, and Beretta taking on Minoru Suzuki, Tai Chi, and Taka Michinoku.
I'm down with this because to me it's a little bit exciting new freshness. I'm curious to see how we'll see Suzuki-gun in a road to show. We know history is in the indicator. Road to shows might not be the, you're not looking at the end of the year for a lot of these matches, but let's see. It's fresh. It's new. New feud. I'm totally down. Suzuki's one of my favorites, so I think it should be enjoyable. All right, so I'll give that. My temperature wise, I'll give it a 7. That's where I'm at for that. 7.
How about this 10 man tag match? We've got Michael Elgin, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Manabu Nakanishi, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Kushida taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Well, I said it earlier, right? They have a formula, Los Ingobernables. We've seen this match, it feels like 752,000 times. I would hope they would get it right, and they have. So expect a nice three-star salute out of all the combatants here. 3 stars.
How about Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, Katsuyori Shibata, and Juice Robinson taking on Hiroki Goto, Toru Yano, Tomohiro Ishii, and Will Ospreay?
That's not bad.
No,
that's not
bad.
That's not on paper. I mean, this honestly, as far as multi-man tag matches go, this is not bad. I'm kind of into this show, to be honest with you. All right, that's not bad. 5-6, sure.
What do you think of Tenkozy versus KES?
Straight up tag match, right?
Yep, straight up tag match.
Well, it looks like KES is getting a win.
Yep, over a legendary team.
I think it might be good.
Yeah, it
could be. They've worked plenty of times before. So it'll be like riding a horse.
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing KES again. I mean, I
have you like them a lot.
Yeah, I do. I think they can absolutely be in contention for those IWGP tag titles.
Oh, contention. I think it's a slam dunk. They're winning it in one of those new beginning shows, the first one.
I think we said that last week.
Again, it's amazing what happens when guys take 2 years off and travel to NOAH. Things feel fresh, and this is a match we've seen 1,000 times before, but it just feels fresh because we haven't seen it in a while. So let's see what happens. I'm down with this show so far, Colin. I really am.
Yeah, you want to hear the final three, the opening three?
I do.
Yoshihashi, Jado, and Gedo taking on Takashi Iizuka, right?
Yeah, you know him. He's the crazy ball guy with the iron claw.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yoshinobu Kanemaru and El Desperado.
Kanemaru is the newest member of Suzuki-gun, one of the young lions, right?
That's right.
And who else?
El Desperado.
Fuck. We know him.
Yeah. He's got the Taichi effect.
Yeah, well, you know. Okay. All right. Fine. I'm curious to see how the young lion makes out under the goon banner, but yeah. Sound good? All right, what else we got?
Got Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, and Yoshitatsu taking on David
and
Finlay.
Yoshitatsu?
Yes. And Yoshitatsu taking on David Finlay.
I thought
Finlay,
he was done. Okay.
David Finlay, Hanare, and Kawato. Who's the weak link here?
Who's doing the fall? Kawato? Or who's the weak link in the listen, Yoshi. No, come on. Yoshi Tatsu.
Poor Yoshi.
Yeah, but it looks like we're going I don't know. Should I go out on a limb and say that Liger or Tiger's taking a fall? Nah.
No, I think you're I think you're definitely gonna see the veterans win here in this match. Let's go with Kawato taking the fall.
Yeah, I would go that route as well. All right, it's not a bad show, Colin. It's not a bad show.
One opening match, Yuji Nagata versus Tomoyuki Oka.
Oh, okay. So another young lion. Okay.
Yuji Nagata is going to kick the shit out of him.
I hope so. Yeah, poor Yuji Nagata. Opening shows, coaching kids. What do you think? Do you think he's got one more spot, one more run in him?
Yuji?
Yeah.
He can still go. That's the thing.
He can still go.
But... look what they're doing with them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, what they're doing with them is what I don't want to say what they should be doing with them, but it's you know, he's a fucking legend.
He should start a new gimmick. He could be the young lion killer or the young lion hunter, like the Yoshitatsu's the bullet club hunter.
Yeah. He just destroys young lions.
Yeah.
We need all the young lions we can get.
Yeah, they're an endangered species for crying out loud.
Speaking of young lions, next weekend, next Saturday, local, 5 minutes from my house, in lovely Pensauken, New Jersey. That's the first time you ever hear that term, lovely Pensauken, New Jersey. young lions will be you know what they call them in fucking Ring of Honor? I don't know if I like this guy. The Tempura Boys.
The Tempura Boys sounds like a pop band.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm not thrilled with that name. But it's our favorite young lions, Tanaka and Komatsu.
Wow, haven't seen those lads in a while.
Yeah, they'll be on this show. I'll be in attendance.
Seems like everything is 5 minutes from your house. What's up with that?
I live in a nice central location, just minutes away from Philadelphia.
Colin, you two's playing in my living room tonight. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Listen, last week, a 14-hour plane ride and a canceled flight. Other than that, that's like, oh, no, we're planning, Colin.
What's that?
You want to hear this one? This is last, this weekend.
Is this hot off the press?
This is hot off the press. At dinner with the missus, had a couple old fashions, right? And we were talking about travel and stuff like that. This is the plan. This is the tentative plan. London, Christmas time, spending it there, and then flying from London to Tokyo for Wrestle Kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the wife would be joining you for Wrestle Kingdom.
I said, look, you would have a fucking blast at Wrestle Kingdom. I said, even though it's still just the event and the people and you would have an absolute fucking blast. You're not going to go to Corrigan. Like, honestly, she probably, if this happens, she'll probably go to like Kyoto with our friend Gabby. So yeah, but that's the plan. That's the tentative plan. I'm excited for that. That's fucking good stuff.
Will I be joining you at Wrestle Kingdom? That's the question.
That's the question, Colin Miller. Listen, they were talking about this G1 stuff. Are you going to the G1? And I said, as of right now, I don't think Colin's going to G1.
Yeah,
in Long Beach.
That's kind of up in the air for me currently, folks.
I know. Listen. You got your WrestleMania. You got your Florida thing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I think that we're looking at the little PuroCast meetup
New Japan meetup at WrestleMania.
Well, hey, look, I imagine a lot of our listeners are going to be in the area.
Probably.
I'm thinking possibly that Saturday night at an establishment known as Miller's Ale House. Really good food, good drinks. Nice place in Orlando to meet up and hoist a few pints and chat a little bit. So that's the meetup I'm looking for. Probably I have to look at what time the NXT show ends, what's going on with that. But that is what we're looking at.
Are you
going
to go to that NXT show?
No, dude, I'm going to be flying in. I'll be getting in that afternoon. I'm going to be so exhausted that all I'm going to want to do is have a nice meal and a few drinks somewhere.
All right. Okay. So there you go. So the night of TakeOver Orlando, whatever the fuck they're calling it, meet up with Colin. How about that?
That's what we're looking at, folks. So, but I will keep you up to date with the exact location and time on social media. But definitely reach out to me if you're planning on being in the area for WrestleMania weekend and you want to stop by and say hello. You know, I'm not going to have a bunch of swag to give away like Damon, mind you.
I can send you some stuff.
Hey, if you want to send me some stuff and we could do a little giveaway, that'd be fun.
I can send you some stuff. I have so much shit just lying around in my office. Like, seriously, I mean, I got autograph. I mean, I got
cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Listen, it's cool stuff, but it's just like, you know, okay, I don't have the wall space for it. So yeah, listen, if it can go to a good cause, I got no problem with that. I can send you a couple things. Well, you know, we'll make us a real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, if you're going to be in the Orlando area, planning on making the trip out for all the good wrestling shows that weekend, hit me up and I'll let you know about all the details. So that is that. Again, next weekend, next Friday is the Road to the New Beginning, and Damon and I will be back right here once again to review that show, and onward and upwards we go to the new beginning.
Yep. All right. Let me just wrap this up with a final thought I like to do. Listen, if you are one of those video collectors that has shit on like a drive or some stuff like that, I'm looking for Stampede stuff, okay? Especially stuff with Liger, Hiroshi Hase, that kind of stuff. So if you're that type of person who does a lot of collecting, also other territories. I mean, if you have Georgia stuff, if you have other shit, let me know. Maybe we can work something out. I definitely – and I don't want DVDs. If you have it, I'll take it. But like –
a flash drive.
Yeah, if I could just download it from us, like a fucking drive, it would be perfect. All right, so hit us up on the Twitter box. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up wherever and get a hold of us. And I need that. All right, so that's it for me. Colin, wrap it up.
All right, I'll take us home. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com is your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. Listen to each and every new episode directly on the website as soon as it is uploaded. Links to all social media on there, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and of course, we're up each and every Monday afternoon on the great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Voices of Wrestling, probably the best website out there that covers Puro. So check them out, voicesofwrestling.com. And on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll talk to you guys next week.